So we're officially starting. My name is Menachem Liptag. I teach in Israel. I live in Alon Shvut, Gush Etzion. I've been teaching in Har Etzion for like over 40 years. And this year at the Seder, I get to say, I dropped the cuff. Remember, I'm Ben Shivim, so I'm not Kiben Shivim. One year I get that opportunity. And thank you for coming. And a lot of things, I teach mostly Tanakh and seminaries also in Israel, usually gap year students, some post-college. But what I find often is that everyone knows the Siddur quite well, but I like to always mechalek between Kavana and Havana, meaning daven with Kavana means we try to teach Kavana to make sure your mind isn't wandering. But Havana, understanding what you're saying, sometimes takes away from your Kavana. Meaning, a lot of times we do things, and we're so intent on saying the right words, we don't know the wider context of where that pasuk is coming from, why we're saying it, where it's in davening. So I want to begin with an overall presentation of how the Siddur works. And I want to show you, if you give a class test in Siddur, in general, boring. I've never found a school where someone teaches Siddur, where the class is exciting, because, we know that already. On the other hand, when you study Chumash, and you reach a section that's in the Siddur, that's a great opportunity. You know that pasuk, for example, Shema, or in other words, if you're learning Sefer Dvarim, how can you not spend time to appreciate why Shema is where it is in Sefer Dvarim? And when you're learning, I don't know if you ever learn, I'll give you just for the fun of it. V'hurachum yichaper avon. You know that line, don't you?
Yeah.
Anyone know where it's from? Okay, I'm not surprised. Don't feel bad. that could be a whole shir. Is it a pasuk, by the way? Good question. Is that shebach or bakasha? Is that prayer or praise? Now you're all confused, right? Okay, I have what to teach. By the way, it's tili ma'im chet. And it's got a next door neighbor in case you want to do something for fun. You probably never studied tili ma'im chet. Remember at the Seder, there's this pasuk you mumble. Yishalach bam charon apo ever avazam shachat ma'achiroim. Remember when we have to, 10 plagues is not enough. We go to 50, then 200, then 250. So that's the catalyzer verse that multiplies everything by 5 or by 4 or 5. And there's a great reason why it's in your magid, but if you don't know tefillah ma'achet, you won't appreciate it. Okay, we're going to get to work. That was my stall, whoever came. Now, I want to divide the Siddur, just to make it easy, into, I'll talk about three main sections. I'm going to use the letter P. But to begin with, when we daven, is it primarily prayer or praise? When I say prayer, give me an example of things people pray for. Health, okay. Shiduchim, okay. Parnasa and things like that. Yeah. Which are pretty universal. I'll just share one cute little joke, because you mentioned shiduchim. So I was in a shul and someone else was speaking about where in Shmoneh Esrei, when you have personal needs, where you should enter the bracha. So if you're studying for, like he said, if you're studying for a final and you want Davin Akkad to help you, put that in Tuchonein Dat. If you're something with the refuah, you put in Refa'enu. You pick the right, you're hoping for redemption. No, you don't have to put everything in Shema Kolenu. You can insert things where they belong. So then he asked the question, when you're praying for Shiduchim, where would you put that? So someone in the audience said, in Ala Nisim. So that sort of ruined his share, but it was but it was a nice one. Okay, now we'll get to work. When I say prayer, I'll call that petition. And then there's praise, correct? Praise is... Now, most of our Siddur is praise or prayer, from what you remember?
Praise.
A lot of it's praise, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which, for some reason, we call it a prayer book. But it's a more praise than prayer. In fact, if you want to say, pass me the prayer book in Hebrew, you would say, pass me a? But Siddur doesn't mean prayer, does it? What's Siddur mean?
Order.
Is this book, is this, what, just a Siddur there. Is it organized? Usually most shuls have, people announcing the pages every 2 minutes. We're always jumping all for good reasons. Now, anyone know why it's called a Siddur? Yeah?
Because the chazan would review the order of the brachos based on this. They do, and everyone had a sitter. It was a way to...
It was like a machzor. I mean, it was like a guide.
So machzor was called machzor because you have to review many times because you're only going to say...
Yeah, machzor because it's an early name for Or HaChaim. Because it's the routine of what we do all the time, like in the time of the Gonim.
Right.
Yeah. So early Siddur were called Machzorim. Somehow Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur got the Machzor name, and our Siddur got for the daily prayers. But that's not what the words mean. That's not important for now. But I want to suggest another reason why it's called a Siddur. Now, let's start with prayer. Are we obligated to pray?
Yes.
D'oraisa or D'rabbanan?
D'oraisa.
Machloket. Okay, what's the famous machloket? Remember that one? Okay, now let's do the routine. This everyone knows. Okay. Rambam, Maimonides, holds what?
Deraita.
Okay. And Ramban?
Deraita if it's a difficult time.
No, it's deraita, but it's called Beit Sara. Got that? Now, if something's deraita, what do I need? I need a pasuk, right? Now, I mostly have Tanakhim. Can you find a pasuk that says, Thou shalt daven? What? What? Oh, say that again? Avadtem et Hashem Elokeichem. And that means...
The Rambam's source for tefillah.
Oh, wait. You said one verse. You said another verse.
Avadasha believe, but is that derived?
But I said Avadasha believe. Now, Avadatem is Avadasha believe, which is.
Wait, slow down. Right, no, you're perfect. You get to one heaven. There's another plus that people mumble about Avadasha believe. But I have to prove that also. Okay. But I'm showing you, you know all these lines by heart, but you have to see where they're coming from. So I start with this topic. So, v'avartem et Hashem Elokeichem, does that mean to daven him shot? Wait, okay. Do you know anyone know where that pasuk is from? I'm sure you don't. That pasuk? It's definitely in Chumash somewhere. Yeah. By chance, it's Parshat Shavua. Okay, so you have Chumashim open. Okay. Open up your Chumash. I know you have to squint a little bit. I should have given magnifying glasses. Perachav Gimel. Pasachav. Okay, and what more chamashim here? Chav Gimel Chav. It just always amazes me. Everyone, all my students, they get or two. Okay, all my students.
What book?
The Old Testament.
Is it?
Sefer Shmuel. Sefer Shmuel Perachav Gimel. Chav Gimel Chav starts a new unit. God's going to send a malach, help us conquer Israel, etc. See Chav Gimel Chav. It's a big parsha, so you're being mahadur sadr already. Malach lefanecha to guard you on the way. You better listen to him, etc. Now, just pick up from Chav Gimel, from Per Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Okay, you have it. Read out loud. You're doing a good job. Keilech malachi lefanecha. What's going to happen? God's going to send a malach to help you conquer the land. What will we do? He'll help you defeat the seven nations. V'charativ. Now. Pasachav Dalad, what happens when you get there?
Don't
get rid of all the places of idol worship. Okay, get rid of all the places of idol worship. Read Chav Dalad for me. Listen. Lo tishtachave lahem v'lo to'obdein. Perachav Gimel, got it? Chav Gimel Chav Dalad. Lo tishtachave lahem v'lo to'obdein. What's that mean? Don't bow down and don't serve them. Instead, what do you do? Destroy them. Now smile. Pasachav hei. Va'avadatem et Hashem Elokeichem. Imshad. Does that mean daven? Avodah meant.
What you do, even if you daven to the avodah zarah.
I mean, it's sacrificing, right? No, it says lo tavod v'lo tishtachave v'lo tavod. Tishtachave is to bow down. Vavod is to feed them. Fleshiks usually. Right. Got that? Right? Now. Okay. Now. Remember I asked you what the people daven for? Okay. Look how the pasuk continues. Loti lotovdeim. Instead what? I mean instead bavatet Hashem Elokeichem. And what will he do? He'll bless your food, right? And what else?
Your
water. I'll get rid of illness. I'll bless you. What is God? I'll bless your harvest. You'll live a long life. You'll have children. And you win your wars. Correct? Aren't all the things, those are all the things we pray for, right? Isn't it? Now, the problem is, in Pshat, it doesn't say davening. What's it say? It says to serve. Now, you can look in the Rambam later on. Then the Rambam says something else. He says, he starts in Hilchot Tefillah, Misfat Taseh Litalav Hoyom. Shenemar, the pasuk you quoted. Then he asks a question, what does the verb Avodah mean? Got it? Avodah usually means, Vashevet Avodah Livir Beitecha usually means sacrifices, and that's the context and thing. Then he quotes the pasuk to prove that sometimes the verb Avodah can mean Avodah Shabalev. What pasuk is that? He said it this morning. Vayayim Shema. Yishma Bako Hashem Chorei. And what will happen? Ulovdo. Cholavachem Chonav Shechem. So we have a verse, not a command, but good advice. If you follow God and you love and you serve Him with your whole heart, He'll bless you, all the things. He'll give you, but nothing tarz can be toyer makor. And what I learned from that verse is sometimes the verb Avodah can refer to Avodah Shabalev. Now, how do you serve with your heart? Then the Rambam says, we have a Masorah, the one. Ezra Avodah Shabalev said Tefillah.
Why didn't you put that one first?
No, because the Rambam, if he counts the mitzvah to say, I need a pasuk. You follow?
Okay.
Now, even when it's not shot of the pasuk, what I think, of course you have to daven. Now go find me a pasuk. You follow? Everyone agrees you have to daven because you have to daven. Because it's... There's things that have to be a mitzvah. Now go find me a pasuk. I'll give you a great example of that. Ramban holds that there's a mitzvah not to speak Lashon Hara, right? Mitzvah taseh to Miriam not to speak Lashon Hara. Where does it say that? Remember what God did to Miriam. That's not pshat. But what's his proof? You'll read the Ramban on that pasuk. How could it not be a mitzvah? That's his proof. It's like, you know, the Shiver, how do we know Yaakov wore a hat? Because it's Vayitzei Yaakov Beber Sheva, if you know that line. That's the old yeshiva line. But you with me? Certain things have to be mitzvot, but you have to have a pasuk. And I appreciate how the rabbis work. Now, what I'm showing you is that if you're studying Parshat Mishpatim, correct? And you get to this section, or the end of it, and you're studying it, and it's about, hey, you have a great opportunity to discuss what tefillah is about. That's Vavatem Hashem. But now, Ramban has a different source. He disagrees with Ramban because he says that's not pshat. What's Ramban say? No. So if you have your chumash open, then I'll give you the page already in a minute. If you have your chumash open, open up in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Yud.
That's a source.
That means you're supposed to blow trumpets.
Yeah, but the context of there is based Sarah.
Yeah, but why does that mean davening?
Why doesn't it mean davening?
We'll see. But you said he needs a pasuk. Yeah, Sefer Bamidbar Perek Yud. The first line is about the two chatzotzrot. It says Kohanim blow the chatzotzrot in the Mikdash. That's when you go to war or when you gather. Chatzotzrot is you. That's a law for the desert. In Pasuk Tet, out of nowhere, because we mentioned I need these bugles to gather the nation when we travel in the desert. We're about to leave Har Sinai. Then we have in parentheses, pretty much in Pasuk Tet, v'chitavo mechama b'artzechem. What that means? Should war be imminent in your land, whomever the enemy might be, what are you supposed to do? You blow shofar. Why? To remember what? Nitzkartem lifnei Hashem Elokechem. What's that mean? Who remembers who?
Hashem remembers you.
Is God sleeping, you have to wake him up? Or do you need to remember that the reason for the tzara is God? And he's sending you a wake-up call. Got it? That's how Shlomo HaMelech explained it. You're being judged by God. Remember, Zichronot means being judged. But you have to remember that God judges you based on your deeds. And then, if you do proper tshuva, then what? V'noshatem ayvechem. And even when you're not in trouble, what's it say? What's the next line? We know from... Uv'yom simcham o'madechem roshei chodshechem. Right. That pasuk looks real familiar, doesn't it? How come everyone knows that pasuk by heart? Where's that pasuk from? We're in davening. Which musaf? Rosh Hashanah. Is that Malchiyot Zichronot or Shofrot? Why would you say Shofrot? Vaharayotem. Why would you say Zichronot?
Zikaron.
Why would you say it's Malchiyot? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I just quoted Rashi. Now, where do we daven? You're right. We say it at the end of Shofrot, but it's not the end of Shofrot, it's a grand finale of Musaf. You can hear the chazan, and you're stuck, like, it's almost over. But Musaf is finally over with that line. Now, that's a grand finale. Now, if you're learning by Midbar, what a great opportunity to teach. Now, these two psukim, I want you to appreciate Ramban. These two psukim talk about remembering that God judges you, but there's two times. Whenever you're in trouble, that's called Be'is Tzara, got it? And even when you're not in trouble. Now, Pasuk Yud, what we just read, it's not just, we use that for davening. There's something which you know by heart, which you probably didn't realize why we say when we say it. Right? What tefillah is based, what tefillah in our siddur is based on Pasuk Yud? Look at the times we say it. Uv'yom simchatchem, u'madechem, v'roshei chodshechem. We don't do Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But there's something else we do on Rosh Hashanah. What do we do on Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and all the holidays? That's right, there's Musaf because I'll tell you what. Yalav Yavo. Everyone knows Yalav Yavo? Every student knows exactly when you say it, when you don't say it. Marv, yes. I mean, Marv, you follow? Yeah. But does anyone know why we say Yalav Yavo? Of course not.
Because it's a Yom Zikaron, each of those days.
Which means what?
Which means it's the day that God's remembering us, so to speak. And that's
the is God remembering or is God judging us? Remember, in a month from now, he can't sleep, that king. Really, what was that king's name? You know, Ahasuerus, right? He couldn't sleep? What's he open up? That's not fairy tales. That's he's opening up a law book. Who's been convicted of treason? And who's he find? Big Ten of Teresh, and who saved the day? He wasn't reading a storybook, he was reading a book of convictions. Sefer Zichronot, Zikaron means to be judged. Now, if you're being judged, we're definitely being judged on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? Are we being judged on the Halit, on the Shalosh Regalim?
For sure.
But Chazal say, in the beginning of spring, for our grain harvest, for our fruit harvest from Shavuot, and for our upcoming rain. In other words, at the critical times of the agricultural year, who's judging us in nature? Nature's judging us, isn't it? What's Chumash say? No, that's not nature. There's a God who made all the powers of nature. And he's going to give us rain based on our behavior. We say it every day in Shema, don't we? And therefore, the assumption is we're being judged all the time, especially on these times of the year. And because you're being judged and you might not be worthy of a good judgment, what do you ask the judge to do? Please take into consideration that what? That I served in the army. Take consideration that I helped my mom meet one time. Take consideration not just what I've done, but look what my parents did, my grandparents. I dedicated a whole city in your honor. I dedicated a whole nation dedicated to you. I have a concept of Mashiach. What, you see what I'm talking about? What are we asking God to Yalev Yavov Yagyav Yeretzeh? We're asking God that because we're assuming we're being judged, that therefore take into consideration not just our actions, but what else? Zichroneinu, v'zichron avoteinu, v'zichron Hashem Adav, v'zichron Hashem Yerkotshecha. Take everything into consideration, and therefore, in light of that, give us a good judgment. How would you say that? Zichroneinu Hashem Elokeinu, v'tova. It means judge us for good. Ufagdeinu bodi v'racha. V'oshienu. It's right from here, right? V'chaim tovin. V'zvarishu v'rachamim, understand? We ask God, but what midah of God is going to enable that? Yeshua v'rachamim. Chus v'chaneinu v'rachim aleinu. Ki amelachamim v'rachum atah. Now we have Shir in Parsha Kitisa.
We are also asking for Mashiach, to be judged correctly, and Yerushalayim to be judged correctly. It's not just about us.
No, we're asking God, take into consideration that we have an ultimate goal, We have a goal of being your nation forever. It's a different discussion what Mashiach means there. But no, we have a goal. Mashiach means we have a goal. We're God's people forever. And we hope to be able to. We're praying, God, give us the ability to serve you. We're servants. We're not. We're avadim. We aren't consumers. You understand that? I'll get that idea in davening. Sometimes we view davening as we're consumers and we know where to shop. Nevi'im call that avodah zarah. Idol worship, ideally.
There's the element of judgment in Rosh Chodesh also?
Yeah, what do we judge on? Ah, that's a great question. We're being judged. But I understand the agricultural holidays, but what's this? What's happening with the new moon? So we thank God that even though we should be judged once a year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? What's God give us? He gives us a quiz once a month. And our grade is 50% quiz is 50% final. That's exactly Rosh Chodesh. No, is Rosh Chodesh Yom Kippur Katan? Right? Or is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur a super duper Rosh Chodesh? Now, I'll give you one analogy and then I'll get to source in a minute. Who here has been to the dentist? Okay. Tell me when you go to the dentist. What? When you have a toothache, right? Right? Now, what else, even if you don't have a toothache, when you go to the dentist?
Every 6 months.
Depends on your insurance, whatever it is. Now, who's more likely to go for a toothache? I'm sorry. Yeah, who's more likely? Right? Someone who goes to a routine checkup or not? The goal of the routine checkup is preventive medicine. Understand? Now, Pasek Tet, Chitabon Mechma B'Shem, that's a root canal. You follow? That's a toothache. Pasek Yud is your routine checkup. And that explains stopping to the T, doesn't it? In other words, it's called transformative understanding. The assumption that God judges us based on our deeds. I think that's a basic assumption in davening, isn't it? I mean, we scream it everywhere we go. As Chumash is saying, there's what's called Schar Va'onesh ever since Gan Eden, I think. The flood. God expects good behavior and gets really upset when man's bad. But at least he's willing to forgive us, thanks to we had a good lawyer. But we're in this, understanding that, if a person internalizes that understanding that we're being judged based on our behavior, then that might cause people to behave properly. And it gets really complicated when God judges us and not me. Not only me, you follow? And therefore, it's not enough for me to be good. If I can recycle, but if my neighbors don't recycle, remember, when the flash floods come, it's going to hit everybody, if you understand my analogy, with group punishment. Remember? Hapti's pet said, anyway, that's a whole theme in Machshava. Are you with me now? I'm saying, so what God's saying is, whenever you're in trouble, you can always turn to God. That's Beis Sarah. That's Ramban. You follow? Even when you're not in trouble, there's a need to daven. Why? It's preventive medicine. Because if I remember before grain harvest that it's not some grain god, it's not Asherah or whatever name might be in this kind of, but it's the one God, then that'll give me a good davening has to be transformative. It's remembering your relationship with God. And in light of that relationship, when you finish davening, that's when davening starts working. Understand? If you really internalize what you're saying in davening, you'll be a better person. If a person really believes that God's judgment of us, and possibly even me, is based on our deeds, and it's not just my deeds, but it's our deeds, not only that you'll have to behave good, you have to be involved in community and make sure other people are good. And if someone drops on Shabbos, you throw rocks. That was just a little joke. Now, but it's an understandable application when you don't see the wider picture. Now, one last line, just for Parshat Shavua, okay? Want to see something amazing? Go back to Perek Chaf Gimel in Mishpatim. Okay? In Parshat Mishpatim, we have a bunch, remember, we just got the Ten Commandments, and we have three chapters of laws, which are primarily between God and man, or between mostly it's Benam Chavero. A couple here and there, but remember Eved Ivri and all the Neziki and all the punishments. The most expensive pasuk we have is Pasuk Yotet, isn't it?
Where's Chaf Gimel Yotet? Why is that so expensive? Remember? Okay, I'm joking. 2 cents, 4 cents in dishes, a peaky pest. You follow? if you can't afford a hotel, you have to pay four cents in dishes. Okay, for. I'm sorry. No, but that's the end of the Shlosh Regalim. But look at Pasuk Yedalet, right? Shlosh Regalim, Tochovdi Bashana. That's the end of the whole unit. Three chapters, it ends with Aliyah L'Regel. When? The holidays there, are they agricultural or historical?
Agricultural.
Yeah. Remember? You remember, next is B'chag Aviv, and then Chag HaKetzer and Chag HaSif, right? Now, look at Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel is key. And Chag Gimel, Yud Gimel, right before Yud Aleph Shlosh Regalim Yono Behar. Look in Yud Gimel. Uvecho Asher Matchem Tishamero, what's that referring to? Everything I just told you to keep. See that? What? Not just Shabbos. Ever since Parsha Mishpatim began. Keep all these three chapters of laws of having a just society and kindness with Mishpat and Staka, right? And then, Vishem, ask your Bakore, when your teacher, do you say Elohim or Elohim here?
Elohim.
Because these are other gods. And don't you dare mention the names of other gods like Voldemort. Don't even mention their name, you follow? Instead, come to me. In other words, if you're about to go to Canaan, who are the Canaanite gods? Right? There's the rain god, there's all the gods of nature who people always turn to in critical times of the agricultural year. Why do people turn to a rain god and to a fertility god and to a snow god? Because they're in charge. What's Chumash telling you? All those powers, if you read Perek Aleph and Bereishit, are from one God, who judges us based on what? On our deeds. And therefore, why do we visit God on the Shlosh Regalim? To remember what? Not to pray for rain and pray for good crops. To remember that our God is in charge of the good crops. Got it? But it's a function of our deeds. It's preventive medicine. Now, if someone internalizes that, now we have what to do on Yom Tov. You understand what I'm getting at? Now, this transition line is key to understanding davening. And that's why it continues. The Rambam's understanding is right on the mark. You follow? When you understand the psukim we read in the end of Chav Gimel, V'avatam et Hashem Elokechem, when you understand its context from Parshat Mishpatim, as always, it's always on the mark of the Rambam. But you have to appreciate where he's coming from. Anyway, just a quick example, a long example, of how we have till 10:30, I think? Or 10:25. Okay, 1 hour. Now I get to use the board and give you a... So a lot of our davening is what? Is it's prayer. That's prayer. We have to pray. But there's a cloud that before you pray, you praise. Now, is there an obligation to praise?
No.
Now you're all confused. That's a statement. I'm your boss. You can't work for anybody else. Where does it say that? I'm your boss. You can't work for anybody else. That's the first two statements of the Ten Commandments. What do you call the Ten Commandments? Right? That's our contract, isn't it? If I catch you moonlighting, boy, you're in trouble. Okay. But if you do a good job, you get, remember, don't you dare carry my name in vain? Oh, that's a good one. What do you mean don't carry God? What do you mean God's name? Where do we have the topic of God having a name, about making a name for God? Does anyone in Chumash ever make a name for God? Talk about how great God is? Yeah. Does Avram ever call him God's name?
Yeah.
That's his pastime, if you study Bereishit, isn't it? When he first makes Aliyah, he comes to Israel, he's Korei B'Shem Hashem. And then, what else does he do next? He comes back from Egypt, remember? Goes back to the same Mizbeach in Beit El, of all places, to call him the name for God. Later, Yaakov have a dream there about building a shul. It's Beit Elohim and Beit El. Beit Elim go hand in hand, it's the same idea. Because there, it's a place where God answers prayer. Yitzchak calls out Avram in Beersheba, he makes a treaty with Abimelech. Remember, he makes that Esho in Beersheba. And he makes our vote, we're making a name for God by how they talk and how they behave. Now, just one more thing to look up in your notes. Huh? Open up Tehilim Kufei. Okay, then I can get out the sheet finally, okay.
In Kufay. In fact, don't look at it yet, but pass it around. In my old age, I stopped giving out source sheets in the beginning because people don't, everyone just looks ahead and doesn't pay attention. And I'm trying to get people to actually open up real books and see them inside. Because everything's printed, then no one sees, no one has a safer in their hand, especially with computers, it ruins everything. But it's a lost cause. I'm just venting my own frustrations. Okay, I'm sorry. Where are we up to? Tim Kufay, you found it? Okay. It's the first pasuk is almost impossible to read slowly. Why is that? Because it's in your siddur, isn't it? Never hold Hashem kiru b'shmo up to the races? Because we got to Shabbat before. It's usually the only time you stay maybe slowly is Shavuos morning if you're up all night and you have a long time. But everyone knows this line, right? Hodod Hashem Kiru Bishmo. It's in now. Pretend you know Hebrew. That's not nice. Pretend you know grammar. Is this line Menachem, right? I mean, that's okay. Good. Two Menachems.
Easy to remember.
Okay, good. We were in Yeshiva in 1980 together. Right? 1980?
Later.
Okay. 81.
I want to give away my
age. Okay, I gave mine away in the beginning, yeah. What are we doing? I was telling you something. Oh, yeah. Hodul Hashem. Is that a command or a statement? It's imperative. You understand that. I got my joke. Hodul Hashem Kiru Bishmo, that's a commandment. Tidin Kufay. Now, is the next line also a commandment? Shirulo Zamrulo Sikha Bahuni Flotav. Now, whenever there's a commandment, there's always someone commanding and someone receiving the commandment. Keep reading and tell me who's receiving this commandment. No, Bakshi Hashem is a footnote. Because there's more commands going. Yeah. Yeah, is that a pasuk vav? Now, just for a teaching example, okay? If you give your students, don't tell them that, right? Give them the first couple lines that this means more, right? And ask them, you know, how many psukim are? You know, you can ask them the question. Is this? It's called engaging questions. That's the next session. But ask them: is this an imperative? Is it a advice or is it a command? Then who's being commanded? And have them find who's being commanded. And what's the answer? Zera Avraham Avdo B'nei Yaakov B'chirav, which is a nice way of saying Am Yisrael. Because remember, Ata Bachatan Mikol Amim Avdo Tan Mishtem V'keftan Makim L'Avdotecha V'shimcha Agadol HaKadosh Shadim HaKarata. It's everywhere you turn, this idea of making a name for God. According to Tehillim, the Jewish people are commanded to do what?
Praise Hashem.
To praise Hashem. Based on, that's what our ancestors did. Understand? And therefore, God. Let's skip the pasachet. Zachar lo'olam brito, davar tzelavdor, asher krat Avraham, shvotei Yitzchak. That's his class in Sefer Bereshit, isn't it? So basically, according to Tehillim, what are we obligated to do? We're obligated to praise God. Do we ever fulfill that mitzvah? According to Tehillim, it's not a diraisa, but it's a very great interpretation of Chumash on behalf of Tehillim. So I can give David and Melech the credit, or maybe Asaf, whoever. But once Am Yisrael accepted Tehillim as our earliest prayer book, then according to Tehillim, what are we obligated to do? To praise God. When do we fulfill that mitzvah? In Pesukei Dezimra, right? And just by chance, what's the first, if you're Ashkenaz, right? After we say, remember, our opening. Pesukei Dezimra comes in a package, doesn't it? A blessing before, a blessing afterwards. You know the package. Yishtabach. I'm sorry. Baruch Shomar, Baruch Shmo. Hey. His reputation. Bam. And then how do we end? Yishtabach Shimcha. In between, we have lots of mizmorim, of Tehillah, Tehillah de David, a lot of Tehillah. But what's the first mizmor we say? In Yifra Ashkenaz? Hodu Lashem, Kirul Bishmo. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Why we chose that? Now, if you daven Edot Mizrach or Nusach Sfar, it's the introduction of Pesukei Dezimra. Understand? But the source of why we're obligated, Pesukei Dezimra, is right here in Tehillim, which is a commentary on Chumash. If I had time, I'd teach you that Kibbeh Hoshir and Tehillim Kufet. It's an awesome commentary on Chumash because it's combining together Milan, Brit, Ben, and Ptarim, but too much for it. Now, if everyone have the sheet I gave you? Right. Yeah, question.
We also end with Aleinu, which is Ushma
Lacha. Aleinu, I'll go back to, I want to go back to employee mode as opposed to consumer mode. Is there a purpose in our chosenness from a universal point of view? Does God care about all humankind or just about us? It's a machloket between Chumash and Hashkafa. That wasn't nice. it's not taught enough because we know God loves us and cares about us. But the question is, does he only care about us or he cares about all humankind? If you read Chumash, you care about everybody. He chose us for the sake of other nations, in the hope that our behavior will have an impact, okay? So it's our duty to praise God. Okay? And it's our duty to make him great by how we talk and act. And that's why we're different than the other nations. But we're hoping that through our praise of God and our behavior, other nations will recognize God and won't be evil. What did I just quote?
Aleinu.
Isn't that the two?
Yeah, because the first is...
It's the first paragraph, right? And Aleinu wasn't written for daily davening. Aleinu was written for Rosh Hashanah davening. It's the introduction to Malchiyot. And Malchiyot is not God's king, he's our boss, which is the first commandment in the Ten. No, God's our boss, we're his servants. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Abdei Hashem, Yaluet, Shem Hashem. Right? Who is Shem Kirubi? Zer Avram Abdo Berechol Bechirov. Ata Bechaton Mikol Amim, remember? Bekeptanu Makenu Lavodotecha, Veshimcha Gadol. I can bring you 100 Pesukim. They're everywhere. We serve God the way we serve God by how through our praise. So part of gathering together as a people, as a nation, as a community, and talking about God, there's a custom people have. I'll have one more trigger question. What's the most ubiquitous prayer in Shul when in Tefillah B'Tzibur? What's ubiquitous? What's the most more than what prayer do we say more than any other one? Kaddish? Oh, you're right, Kaddish. Every 2 seconds, another Kaddish, right? Right? We're and some people say that, you know, you get great schar from answering Amen Yishmei Rabbah. Now, is Kaddish a prayer or praise?
Praise.
Praise. Oh. We'll start with Chatzi Kaddish. Oh, say Shalom Bimrab. The end of Kaddish, that's for sure prayer. What's... The first line is prayer? Or is it praise?
It's prayer about praise.
It's prayer, not for our needs, it's prayer for praise. It's prayer that our mission statement will be fulfilled. Because we're hoping to make God's name great by how we act and how we talk. It's called Judaism. At least biblical Judaism. Got it? And then what are we hoping for? We're hoping that God's reputation should become greater and greater. And we answer right. We answer right on. We answer, as people of my age know that. We answer that God's grace should really be great. You follow? That's a mission statement. But that's why it needs a tzibur. You follow? That's why it's a part of tefillah b'tzibur. You need it. That the idea of making a name for God is so central to the theme of Chumash in davening, as I know. But I'm getting at it's almost rarely taught though. That's got my point? It's so central to davening, because if davening is spiritual breakfast, right? Because if you understand what you're, not just, you know, we look at davening like, what do you call it? What's called oiske davening, if you know Yiddish. In other words, your goal, you have to, you're chayv to daven, you gotta check it off, and get on with life. In other words, it's like dafyomi. I bet that was for the, which is good, it's good, but if the goal is just to finish the daf and not understand it, then it's better than doing nothing, okay? Same thing with davening. But if you understand davening, now, when you study Chumash, you can really enhance your understanding of davening, because everything in your Seder is from Tanakh, that's for sure. And it's thematic. Now, in light of this, I have three... Okay. Okay.
Well-trained staff.
I think
really
waking us up.
It was a toss. Yeah. It was like a panic.
P is what? P is for?
Patience.
Praise. Okay. Praise. And then that's going to be Psukei Dezimra, right? Okay, also Psukei Dezimra. Okay, you know Dezimra. And then we have later petition, prayer, right? A prayer that we call prayer. That's what prayer means, but that's going to be Shmon Esrei, correct? What's in between?
Yes, Shmon.
You wrote.
Does Kriyat Shema come in a package?
Yes.
Well, everyone's brachos but it's not we don't have brachos Kriyat Shema. We have Kriyat Shema with Birchotel. Because before you do a mitzvah, you a bracha before a mitzvah is to make sure you. Now, ask any of your students. When we're saying Shema, what are we saying? What statement are we making? In English, I'm going to tell you. I know in Hebrew, in English. No, in English.
You know, the Lord is God, the Lord is one.
No, give me, what's it mean to the student? What are we announcing? That he exists? Is it a statement of monotheism?
Affirmation
of what? That he's the one and only God?
Yeah.
What? I'll give it. Yeah. So I need that. I call it a pledge of allegiance, which they probably don't do in Chicago, do they? It's probably still in Riverdale. I pledge in not in high school. No. But in Little's kids, I pledge it. The Richard Stans still has a school. Remember Richard Stans? He has a republic. You remember? You pledge allegiance to Richard Stans. To the Republic, for which it's... I was just joking. Okay. I'm throwing too many jokes there. Now, you're going to lose track of what I'm trying to teach you. A pledge of allegiance is not a statement of faith. It's an affirmation that we're... It's understanding of why we're chosen. It's now, the rabbis, when you accept the yoke... rabbis call it accepting the yoke. What's that mean? It's the understanding that we're not consumers, that we are employees. I'm using that analogy a lot because I think it's key. Right. We're employed, that's called Eved Hashem, Ana Abda Dekucha Brichu. Everywhere you turn, it's in davening. Now, you can argue how, what's the best way to get your job done. We call that Machloket. That's called Torah Shabbat Peh. But we can agree that our job is to serve God. How to serve God? Yeah.
Maybe it's a funny question.
Yeah?
If it's a pledge of allegiance, why do we sit down?
Ask your local rabbi.
It's actually not, I mean, it is a Machloket, so should we sit down? Yeah.
I think it's also
like
you could
stand,
but...
No, you can't.
No, that's good to Shabbat of Kumecha. That's a Machlok of Shabbat when you...
Yeah.
The question is, what's better for concentration? No, it's
Shmon Esrei clearly standing up.
Oh, because Shmon Esrei is not called Shmon Esrei. It's called Amidah. Because in Eved, you ever... If you were ever invited to if you're from Riverdale and you're going away for Pesach, the fancy hotel, okay? Chicago people don't do that, I think, right? Unless they move from New York. I shouldn't make fun of it like that, should I? In Chicago, it's okay. I'm from Akron, Ohio, so I can get away with it. You sit at a table, and there's this servant standing like this. Remember? And what's he ask the Jewish table? Is anything okay? No, you're standing, they're standing at service, like standing at attention. That's what an Eved does. You're Omei Lifnei Rabo. That's why Chazal called Amidah, isn't it?
Is there any pledge of allegiance in any country where they sit down?
What came first, pledge of allegiance or?
No, but
so maybe pledge of allegiance
is not right. But I'm getting. Let me prove to you. Let me prove to you.
It's defined as a pledge of allegiance.
Okay.
That is the wrong word. If there's no pledge of allegiance when they sit down. It's the wrong word.
Before those other countries decided to sit down.
No.
Asma, if we're trying to, give us a phrase to help us appreciate what's happening, it's the wrong phrase.
Yeah. But that's how halachic. That's ask your local rabbi. I'm talking about the concept. Kabbalat O Malchut Shamayim. Who wears an O? An awl is a yoke, right? What animal wears the yoke?
Donkey.
An ox, right? No, it's not a leash. Okay? An awl is a yoke, and the yoke enables, you don't buy it with in an accessory store, you buy it at a farming store, meaning it's not like a tie, or a bracelet, or couplings, whatever that kind of stuff is. An awl is a yoke that the farmer needs to utilize the power of the ox. Because the farmer wants to plow the field, to plant the seeds, and he can plow it, but he's weak. The ox is as strong as an ox, but doesn't know how to plow a field. So what does the yoke enable the farmer to do?
The yoke is like his transmission shaft, if you know how cars work, is that it enables the farmer to utilize the power of the ox to plow his field. So in the analogy, God wants a nation to serve him by how we act, accepting the responsibility to be in the service of God. In other words, God's invisible. God exists. We can perceive God, but you can't see God. But how do you give visibility to a God that you can't see, who exists? So what do you have to do? You talk about him. That's what we do. We just talk about God all the time, but we promote the concept that God exists. But accepting that responsibility, which is can be viewed as a burden, but willingly accepting the responsibility to be in the service of God, whoa, that's Kabbalah. Now, let me prove to you. In the Brachot, we say before Shema. Because Hashem Elokeinu means he's our boss. Hashem Echad means he's everyone's God. Now, is that two statements or one? Hashem Elokeinu, he's our God. Hashem Echad is everyone's God. So make up your mind. He's everyone's God, but he's our boss. It's the first commandment, the first statement of the Ten Commandments. That's why Shema and the Ten Commandments go hand in hand. From Masechet, that was the original davening, and then the rabbis took it out because they're afraid of modern Orthodox. You understand that? Oh, these are from God we keep. The rabbis make it up, we pick and choose. That was my joke for Manach. Okay, now, what's the first blessing before we say Shema? What's its topic? What's the topic of that first blessing?
Creates the light.
What's the topic?
Yotzer
Ha'ar, which probably does. Yotzer Ha'ar, which and then we end Yotzer Ha'ar. That's not prayer, is it? It's more than, it's not exactly, it's recognition of what? That there's one God. If I'm looking for a statement of monotheism, the first blessing before Shema, I'm declaring my belief in one God who created everything. The heavens, earth, that's clear. It's a bracha built on Perek Aleph and Bereshit. Because I can't pledge allegiance to God, I don't believe it. No. Now, what's the topic of the second blessing?
Love.
You can say love.
Tara.
What?
Bechira.
It's not like that. The topic is Bechira. HaBocher Bam Yisrael Be'avam. We're recognizing that we're chosen by God. Now, why did God pick us over anyone else? According to Sefer Dvarim, there's no logical reason. That's why it's called a love decision. Ask your social, ask your teenager. Oh, wait, then. I forget. Don't get me started then. Okay? But Chazal is saying, Chumash is saying, remember? It was, God could have picked anybody. Read Malachi, the first line. I love you. But God didn't need someone to love, God needs someone to work for. God needs someone to work for him. So he picked a nation, he picked us. Why us? It's a love decision. And therefore we should appreciate that. We appreciate that. Now, the bracha is recognizing that God chose us to serve him in the framework of it was a love decision. But what's our guidebook of how to serve God? The Torah, right? So in our second blessing, which reminds us we're chosen to serve him. Got that? Now, with that, two blessings clarify Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem Elokeinu is HaBocher B'Yisrael Be'avah. Hashem Echad is Yotzer Ma'orot. There's one God who chose us to serve him. Our guidebook is Torah. And we actually sneak a little prayer in the second blessing. What's our prayer? Help us understand your guidebook to the best of our ability. We're praying to help us do a good job. That's why it doubles for Birchas HaTorah. Maybe it's more to be relaxed when you, because it's a way of life. Got my point? Again, that's a machloket in halacha. And if someone really could really better, maybe, I don't know, right later to the, maybe change, whatever, that's a side part, that's a side issue. The core idea of pledging allegiance, I'm just calling it pledge of allegiance because I need another P. Understand? That's just for technical reasons. What the rabbis call it, Kabbalat Allah Shamayim, is fine. That's why I have the three things. But those three sections of davening are key. Now, because they're all what davening is about. Then we say, then God, you saved us in the past, didn't you? Can you do it again? Now, by the way, before we pray for our needs, just one quick example. There's Shevach before Bakashah and Shemoneh Esrei itself, because we start asking for our needs. If we want to be a good servant, right? But we make mistakes. So what do we want our boss to do? To forgive us, right? But we don't ask for forgiveness right away. The first thing we ask for is the ability to know what we did wrong. Because how can you, if you don't know what you did wrong, how can you do tshuva? God, after the flood, doesn't expect us to be perfect, but He wants us to perfect. We can learn from our mistakes, especially once Moshe broke those luchot. If you know that whole story, Kol Midat HaRachamim. Remember, God can forgive it. Midat HaRachamim doesn't mean He will forgive; He can forgive. But knowing He can forgive opens up the whole world of tshuva. Now, if God can forgive me, means I can learn from my mistakes. The first thing I need to know is what I did wrong. What did God bless us with to be able to distinguish between good and bad?
Das,
right? And we're thankful for God for giving us the ability. We call it atachonen l'adam das. We're praying for wisdom to understand between good and bad, because that's the first step in becoming a good worker. Now, I can know what I did wrong, I have to want to do better. Remember, that's how to motivate kids. I can know I did wrong, but do you want to do better? What do we call that in English? Teshuva. And we ask God, help us want to do teshuva. Now, in light of that, if I know what I did wrong, I want to do better, now will you forgive me and give me another chance? That's how Shemoneh Esrei begins, isn't it?
No, there's Goel Yisrael in between. Isn't it?
No, that, we, no. The Al is what, yes you did. Goel is coming, no, Goel is afterwards.
It's a Shiva Shoptei.
Oh.
Sorry, a Shiva Shoptei.
Oh, I know.
Okay. But that's praying that our judicial system, the people we appoint to be judges should be just and upright. And otherwise, because the problem is if they do, then we can't blame them for all our problems. So we have to be careful with that blessing. Now, the first, we're about to pray for Gula. Where did God promise He's going to watch our history forever and ever? Remember Brit Ben Abtarim? Remember how it begins? God's opening conversation with Avraham Avinu. In Brit Ben Abtarim, Al Tibra Avraham, don't worry. I have a gun. Don't worry. I'm sorry. Don't worry. Onochi Magena. And therefore, now, that leads to Brit Ben Abtarim, which in Tahagada we claim it's a Brit forever, isn't it? It's a Brit Olam. It's also Zachar Lo Olam Brito. Asher Kratat Abraham. Now, it's true that God took care of, in other words, our ancestors who chose them. Zochar Chazdei Avot. Umevi Goel Livnei Vinehem. Why? Leman Shmo. Melech was the Mashiach Magen Avraham. That's all from Dav. It's all from Chumash, isn't it? It's all based on Brit Ben Abtarim. And you understand that Brit Ben Abtarim is eternal. Magen Avraham is so, when you're teaching Bereishit and you're learning Perek Tedvav and Brit Ben Abtarim, which is the first dialogue in God and Avraham Avinu, and the first covenant, and watching our history, how can you not teach that when you're teaching and use that to teach Shemoneh Esrei? You say that every day. I'm just saying there's such basic things. And we have to finish up real fast. Real quick, what do we daven for on Shabbos? If you really have to daven, you say, this Shabbos karet, or maybe Shabbat himi lizok. That's how rabbis get around it. Yeah. But we do daven, don't we?
Yeah.
What do we ask for?
Seven things.
What?
Seven things is what we ask for.
But what do we ask for in davening on Shabbos in Yom Tov? You can't ask for your needs. Unless you really need.
What?
We ask, we want to be good workers. Understand? We're begging God, help us be good workers. That frame of mind, that as Jews, we're avei Hashem, we're employees. And we want to do a good job. And we're striving to do a good job. Now, how to do a good job? It requires self-introspection, it requires, there's a lot to do that. But in my opinion, that's a core, it's called enduring understandings. You know that shtick in education? A core enduring understanding in davening is that we're avdei Hashem. You can't, it's staring at you all through the siddur. Everywhere you turn. And you have to be davening and you have to remember Hadu avdei Hashem, Elo Hashem Hashem, all through Tehillim. Those two themes come everywhere. The core, and they're so basic that no one ever teaches them. Am I right? No one ever teaches them? If I'm not mistaken. So you need to keep all the halachot. You need all the details. But when you're teaching Chumash, that's my crusade, is that a good word? Is that if we're teaching Chumash anyhow, use Chumash to help them understand not what the words are coming from and where the quote is from, but the core concepts, which are core concepts in Chumash, they're themes of Chumash, and then davening becomes alive. Otherwise, it becomes, another adult telling a teenager what to do, and leave me alone. I want to check my phone. Actually, I need to check my phone. What time it is? It is...
No, 2 minutes. Okay.
Can you explain a little bit of the, like, how to use this sheet?
Oh, yeah. So here, take a look at the sheet now. Okay? So I have the three sections of Chumash. Praise, the theme of Shem Hashem, which is a massive theme. I have Kiddum 105. Everything we talked about is on the sheet. I just didn't want to... I hate just going through boring sheet. Now, Pledge of Allegiance, to brief, that's for Tem Kiddum Am Lechet Kone Bogat Kadosh, that was Parshat Shavua. When you teach Dvarim, when you teach Shemot, Parshat Yitro, all these themes are right there. Shabbat is an oath break, it's our weekly reminder of the covenant. Petition is Shmon Esrei, and I have the Budgal. See, we did the Rambam. See the Rambam we did? It was all there. I just wanted to. This is a review sheet. Got it? So Rambam Avodah Shabalev. And then, and that's why. The Rambam doesn't hold your chayv once a day. I'll give you a great analogy. Okay? Everyone says Rambam holds your chayv once a day. Okay. He says you're always chayv. Your status is you're always chayv. Right? But once a day is enough. What's it like? Does your body need nutrition 24/7? It does, right? Do you eat all day long? Some of us, okay. It's called nashing. But you can eat one meal a day is really enough, right? But for a good strong, like three meals a day is enough. But the body stores it, right? It uses it for later.
Can you just say the Lotisachin Hashem Lukah Halashah? Because you started to say it, but that would be like a good way to
start.
Your idea of
the Ten Commandments, yeah.
You are parked in the fire lane. Please move your vehicle, or you may be towed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Our job is to make a name for God. God's saying, don't do a lousy job in the contract. Remember? Shabbat is our weekly reminder of the Oath Brit. Got that idea? Shabbat is Oath Brit. It's our weekly reminder in the realm of time. The Mikdash is the realm of space. That leads later to the Shul. But everything here is on the Daf, and specific examples. And so give me examples of how, I wish I had time to do Ashrei. Well, Rosh Chodesh we have over here. We have the sources of Musaf. But I share with you, a Musaf, you know, this is great. The Korban we bring on Rosh Chodesh and all holidays, there's one, we have multiple Parim, and then there's Elim. Remember? There's Elim, and what else is there? There's seven Kvasim, and
Seva Chatat. Please go to your second session, which will start in 5 minutes.
Okay.
The
story of Yosef and his brothers explains the story of Seva Chatat, doesn't it? Is that perfect? I need to remember the message of there's always good reasons for Sinat Chinam. Ayol Olah is the Akedah story. The seven Kvasim is Avram and Avimelech. And when you said Naseh B'Nishma, we had Dam Parim. And then all the animals, the stories in Breshit, explain the depth of Davening Musaf. Because on Musaf, we're being judged as a nation, on Rechem. I need to remember the stories that God gave us in Chumash to understand why we're chosen and the challenges of our chosenness. And we have to finish. Okay, Emmy, thank you so much. Sorry we went a little over time. But everything we did is pretty much on the sheet. It's just a review sheet. It's not a source sheet, it's a review sheet. But I'd rather... What? Yeah. Okay, thanks very much. How are you doing? Okay.